Welcome to the Fantasy Amateurs and Boom or Bust NRL Fantasy Podcast collaboration for 2024. We've joined forces to bring you the best fantasy content with a rotation of fantasy experts and fantasy nuggets, reviewing the week and answering your NRL fantasy questions. Welcome to the Boom or Bust and NRL Fantasy Amateurs Podcast Questions Collaboration for 2024. I'm your host, Stuart Lord, and tonight I'm joined by Nick Lord, Fantasy Nugget, Burton Lover, Dogs supporter at this point. How you going, Nick?
What to do, baby? Mate, I'm not a Dogs lover, but, you know, my argument that they have 41% possession. So I think you could sort of throw a lot of the stats in the bin on that one because I think everyone else, the other game's like 45% at worst. So they had an absolutely zero ball. So,
well, mate, that's certainly threw your fantasy round in the bin with the Dogs half sparing.
And that wasn't the worst part of it. There was many other poor decisions that.
Fair enough. And we're also joined by Austin Murphy from the NRL Fantasy Amateurs podcast, and also normally you're on the Sunday podcast, mate, but you're joining us on a Wednesday.
Yep, thought I'd come in here and just give some correct and incorrect answers. Just throw in the fray there.
Oh, mate, we only do incorrect here. So, mate, if you throw out something correct, people will be shocked. So, look, we got plenty of questions. Thank you for all your questions last week. I think we cracked the century mark between the two podcasts. So, this is great. Let's get into some more this week. So, look, Jono Taylor kicks us off and he says, look, we probably got to talk about the cashy of the week, Lachie Galvin. So 230K, 18 years old, was cut by the Parramatta Eels for being too small as a half before suddenly shooting up to 193 centimetres, 108 kilos. Looks to be the starting half, albeit with Aiden Caesar on the bench. Austin, is he in your trade plans this week?
He's floating around. It's between him and Talao at the moment just because I don't like his long-term. I don't know. I feel like there might be some chopping and changing happening with these halves. And there's also a little bit of drip feed from someone in the Discord that Caesar's on the bench because he's still struggling with a minor hamstring injury. So there's a lot of chance that this week Caesar eases back into the game and then next week Galvin's back on the bench like they did that trial team list where Galvin was on the bench. So you could just be stuck with another dud next week if you sell Kotrick to him or something. So might be best to wait a week.
That's it. Who are the Tigers got this week, guys?
Raiders.
Yeah, look, they're certainly going to be running plenty of big boy traffic at him, aren't they?
Yeah.
So you can possibly wait a week on him. Look, if you got to sell down for whatever reason, you can certainly do that. I feel like, look, I guess we probably got to talk Tommy Talau as well, now that we mentioned him. I feel really sick when I'm thinking about buying Tommy Talau, being the worst dual play position player cover for like 2 years running. So, you know, Mr. Single Digit. Nick, like, what are you thinking there, mate?
About who, sorry?
Tommy Talau.
Oh, mate, he's in the bin. He's one of the worst backs fantasy he's ever produced. And it's in my Sean Blore bins too. If he can't cut it at West Tigers, I don't think he can cut it.
How about you, Austin? Is he going to sneak into your squad somehow?
Yeah, mainly because he was really good in 2020. Pretty sure he did his ACL in midway through 2021. Then, you know, they say they bounce back 2 years later. But I think it's just a later year because the Tigers are shit. So,
yeah, I think he did it at the end of 21. It was like the last game. And then he missed all of 22 with injury.
Oh, well, there you go. 2024 is 2 years post ACL. And that's when they get their prime fitness back.
There we go. All right. Well, look. Let's see what he got in there. I find it hard just because of how up and down he's been, but I do get your point there. So, you know, do we have any statistics for when pre-injury for him about how he went on a wing?
Pretty sure he had he doesn't have to do well to you know.
He's got a break even of 18 at the moment. Yeah, 19, like, sorry.
I mean, he just has to catch a couple of balls from Bloody Turbo and he's all good. So in 80 minutes, he has 14 games in 29 games, sorry, for a 27 average, which will get him there about.
That's it.
But that was in a Tigers team. Like that, the Manly team, I don't know about you guys, but they look like they're ready to put people to the sword.
They do. They do. They've got a little bit of an ugly run coming up, but they certainly do look primed. So next five for these guys, Roosters, Eels, the newly reformed St. George Illawarra Dragons, Panthers, and the Warriors. So yeah, it'll certainly be interesting. Because, Tommy's either going to get pumped or he's going to put out some decent scores, right?
Yep.
All right. Well, look, so Jono, I think we're saying, you know, maybe wait a week and Lachie Galvin just because, I was surprised with Caesar on the bench. And they also got Latu Fainu there hanging around somewhere as well, don't they, if he doesn't perform Galvin. So Okay, next is really a comment from Chris Chapman Wood about no trade game. So, well, that's really an option this week. Like, I don't know, I've kind of been tossing up just not trading anyone and just hope forgetting that round one ever happened. Is that an option for us who don't own Nick Kotrick, Austin?
Yeah, I tend to agree with this advice, unless you have, like, say, like, I have Spencer Lina, and he's the only one I'm looking at trading. Even though I have Kotrick as well, he could, like, Albert Hopewade is not nailed onto that team. Like, there's a chance that they could get torn up on that edge and he's back next week. And then you've just traded one back to another back, same price, and wasted a trade for no reason, right? With they have the same prospects. So big fan of no trading in the first round because we just started. People are rusty. You don't get to see roles and stuff. It's like 2 weeks, you know, give it a bit. But unless you have someone like Spencer who's been, you know, 8 weeks, he's out. Clear sell, then yeah, I'd probably not trade either.
Fair enough. All right. Look, here's one for Mark from the Fantasy Sandwiches. So Jason Sinclair goes, "Hi, Mark. On the Teamless Tuesday podcast, you dismissed Smithies as Vic Redley because he had the most missed tackles in Super League. But in Super League stats, MT are marker tackles. MI are misses. Says loads of marker tackles and barely any misses. This might change your calculation. He's still Radley in that he's a walking suspension risk, but when he hits, he sticks." So I guess one, yeah, Super League's a bit weird by doing it like that. But having seen that about Morgan Smithy, he did look good last week, Nick. What are you thinking?
Yeah, lots of huge weight, statistics, involvement. I'll just see if I can find it in a sec. But he definitely passed the eye test, that's for sure, on his first hit out in the NRL.
Yeah, he certainly did. So how about you, Austin? It's like, I know we've got Corey Horsburgh coming back. Do you see Morgan Smithy's trying to hold on some sort of role after that? Or is he really just holding out for when Josh Papali'i leaves?
No, I do see him holding some type of role. But the issue with Morgan Smithy is that he's very much like Jack DeBellin, where if they don't play 70 minutes plus, they're not averaging above like 50. Like, so if he's going to slot back into a 60, 55 minute role at the Raiders when Horsburgh's back, then he's going to average high 40s, which for the rest of us, it's not going to be. Like, whether or not he gets that or if he doesn't, another thing. But at the moment, he's already low 500s, so I don't think it's worth jumping on at the moment until we see what his role is like with Horsburgh.
Fair enough. I must have just been a little bit wary just due to the fact that they're so stacked in that middle. The fact that Zach Hoskin can put up a week like he did last week, might not be there in 2 weeks' time, is certainly of concern. Next up, we have from Alex Pace, budgeted for a Keeney to Campbell swap, but should he go from Keeney to Duncan now and just move on, you know, someone like Totola, Tupanua Wong for Campbell once he's back? So I guess, does he want to swap that or does he, I don't know, Austin, like, is, I guess we really got to go to Duncan on this question. Tell us, Duncan, 413K middle, looks like he's got the edge role for a couple of weeks, although people have been talking him actually swap to lock on the day. What are your thoughts on Tell us, Duncan?
There's news, like there's rumors floating that the Arrow won't take the surgery or try play because it's the type of player he is. So if that's the case, you're only going to get 4-6 weeks. Duncan hasn't, he exclusively trained in the middle in the preseason, no edge. So that leads me to believe that Murray will either swap game day or they're gonna do some type of swap there because I don't think he's going to play edge. But even then, he's only going to get 50 minutes or so in the middle.
Mm.
A lot of the Rabbits guys are projecting that as well. And to be honest too, his reserve grade stats aren't great reading. He's got 60 minute average for 37 points. He is priced at 30, but once you pull that down to a 50 minute average, he's only going to average like 34 and he's already priced at 30.
That's it. And look, in the lock in the middle, he'll be getting less of the good ball. Like, I was thinking on the edge, he might get some of that close to line ball attacking runs, but if he's not getting those attacking stats either, then it's certainly concerning for me. And the fact that Jair is back in possibly 4 weeks, assuming that he's, you know, avoids the surgery, that's very interesting.
Even then, he would only play 60 minutes on the edge. And I don't know about you guys, but I've got enough 60-minute edges that I'm kind of depending on to get attacking stats to make value at the moment. So
that's it. Nick, same for you?
No, I'm higher on Tyler Duncan. Probably like, I think he definitely passes the eye test. And he's definitely a weapon who has attacking upside as well through the middle. So he made a couple of great runs, I think, last year towards the back end of the year. I'm pretty high on him. I think reserve grade stats. Whilst sample there, I just think he'll outperform him. So I'm gonna bring him in just on the eye test, really. And even 4 to 6 weeks, that's enough time for me to get a good look at him. And I've got Spencer Lenu, so what other choice do I have?
That's true. Well, I guess he could get Tavita Sisola.
Or have you got?
Oh, fair enough. Or mate, yeah, in that case, you can make one. Just be aware that you may make some money, but maybe not a lot. But then again, he's one of those guys I was thinking once he gets a start, he may be hard to pull out. So because Jacob Host is definitely not the guy in that team.
We know that, but does Jason know that? That's the real question.
I'm not sure how much Jason actually knows. I feel like he's a kind of a guy who, you know, he's a Golf GTI driver driving a Ferrari, right? So he's just absolutely trying to rip it all around the place, and it's like it's not quite sure that he knows how to play with what he's got.
No.
Because Souths are way better than how they're playing. All right. Next up, Tom Parkinson. With Kotrick and new drop, he's only got two wing fullbacks. Oh, so he went very light. Who's the best options to trade new with only 19K in the bank? And he's saying he can trade Kotrick to Galvin or Talau. So really, he might have maybe 30K in the bank if he trades Kotrick to Galvin just for the extra cash. So obviously, the news is Tessie New has been cut. Uncle Wayne's done what I thought that he would do about 20 minutes into that game, which is cut Tessie because of how bad he was on that edge. So who are we looking to get in? Austin, gut check for you.
If you want security with possible upside this week, I'll be going down to Seb Chris. If you want cash in the bank and to sweat every time you play them, I'd go for Tommy Tulio.
That's grim reading. Nick, how about for you?
I agree with Austin. The other maybe middle option there might be Jack Bostock.
Yeah, he looked all right. Not great, but I must say he was playing outside Tessie New, who was just getting carved. So he probably spent most of the game not getting the ball. He could perform better this week, certainly.
That's pretty much it, right?
Jesse Arthurs is the other option in there. He had a pretty good game in the centres.
He scored a try,
the wing.
He scored a try and only got 40, though, right?
He did. Did he score a try in that game?
Pretty sure he did. Like, check.
Nope. He got a line break.
He had that big attacking play through the middle. Yeah. Look, Jesse Arthurs is Tommy Tulao, but 150K more expensive. Like,
that's true. Although running for 193 meters, I'm pretty sure that's what Tommy does, chasing after Jess Sturgis in the afternoon when she wakes up, realizes what she's doing in life.
Come on, mate. Yeah.
All right. Well, look, it wasn't slanderous, at least for once. All right, let's move on. Morgan Jones asked Kotrick to Talau. Or is Arthurs a better play? I think, you know, we're a mixed decision on that. I would say that anyone apart from Tommy Talau is better, but I must say for 100K, you can do a lot. Like, if it's 21st man, Tommy Talau is not the worst 21st man, right?
I agree. Totally.
Excellent. Nick, is Totola a trade? Is Kai Spence?
No.
That was last week, was just a bit of an aberration on your mark?
No, so his PPM was down. I haven't done the deep dive. I've only watched the game once, but he looked pretty good. You know, he's more than likely to not lose you any money. So I think it's really just the classic 3-date rule. I think there's no urgency to get rid of him at all.
That's it. Austin, would you get rid of him, Totola?
No, I would say he's even more of a hold now, given that if they're going to play Duncan at lock, that means Murray's going to spend a bit more time at the edge, which means they might open up more minutes for Totola to take.
That's exactly what I was thinking. I was thinking that Arrow was playing a bit of a hybrid role. Won't be playing that now. So instead, the lock spot will be a hybrid role. Awesome. The next one is that he was talking about eyeing Fogarty, Little, Turbo. He's keen for suggestions. So I'm having a look here. If gut check between the three, Nick, Fogarty, Little, Turbo, who would you pick up this week?
I'd probably go Turbo, and then I'd go Fogarty, and then I'd go Little if I had to rank him.
Fair enough. Austin, your thoughts?
Same order as Nick, but just based on the scarcity of, like, we don't know his team, so it's a bit hard, but, like, given all of the options, the winger fullbacks have been chopped, it'd be good to have. If you don't have a gun back there, get one.
That's it. I must say, Turbo looks so good. I've been looking at that game a couple of times now, and it just, he's one of those ones I felt like that was close to a floor game, considering how close he was to that try. It's really nervous, like, you know, if you're coming up
and
against people.
And multiple tries too, just chances in the 20, it's crazy.
Yeah, I'm very happy as an owner to watch all the Manly games this year.
Yeah, I'm thinking about doing some pretty drastic surgery in my team to get Turbo in. So let's see whether I make it. All right. Simon Chamberlain asked thoughts on Tupania or Wong to Duncan. I think we've said it's at your own risk, really, at this point.
Sideways.
Neither of those two, right?
Sideways.
You wouldn't sell Tupania or Wong.
sideways.
Yeah, so I guess we probably should answer this one because a few people have talked about Piakura, Tupanera, Wong. From my opinion, I don't think any of these guys are sells. I think all of them cop knocks last week, and that's why they were short on points, right?
Yeah.
And so I think that this week they should be healthier. And look, if they cup another HIA, I guess we can just wear it too because you only lose money if you actually sell them, right?
Yeah, and they're over 20% ownership. Like, you're not the only one with them. So you're not running much of a risk there holding on two of them for another week.
That's it. Okay, Nick, you can help out with this one. Lydia Short asks, how does she bounce back from a 672-point start?
You know, I listened to not only the Fan Sandwiches from last night, but also the In the Bin Boys with Eddie and CC Dub as well. And I think they made some really good points, both podcasts, by saying don't swap guns for guns. Don't go gun shopping. I don't think that's a good idea. I think it's a really good way to burn trades. And also sort of it was a down year, down week for a whole bunch of your players. They'll probably go well next week. So there's no point, you know, doing a whole bunch of surgery unless you've got a really good point. Like Austin mentioned, Lenny, you know, where you absolutely know you have to do something. Just really switch your head on and just make each trade really count and try and bank one if you really can.
That's true, because otherwise we end up around 23 out of trades again like most years, right?
Yep.
So, well, yeah. Like, how do you pivot to head-to-head if you've got no trades?
That's true. All right. Simon Jones asks, is Kotrick to Galvin a good idea? I think we've answered that one, Simon. The answer is at your own risk. So you can wait a week because Galvin's unlikely to knock out a century. Sean Mitchell is asking the question we just asked, which is best replacement for Piakura or Hold and for Tupanera or Hold. I think we're saying Hold for both of those.
Yep.
Is they're all starting. Now, this is a great question from Callum Green. Is Tua Peake from the Warriors still a buy or is it too late? Nick, your thoughts first on that one.
When's seeing KG back? Like 3 weeks time?
Round four. So you get another 2 weeks if that's accurate.
But and there's sort of rumors that he's dealing with some nerve issues in the back as well, though not guaranteed.
On his neck?
No, back. Lower back.
His hamstring, in his back, yeah.
Look, I don't think you can go now because they're playing playing Melbourne this week too, and they don't really fare, even in recent times when they've been better, they don't fare well against Melbourne. Even if, like, so Tua Peake would have to score 250s to make 100K, but if he doesn't and he scores 230s, then you're only making like 40 to 50K and you're wasting your trade. But if it comes out that CNK is a bit more delayed, then you jump on. But I think it's a bit too risky to jump on now, kind of like Morgan Smithies, where you kind of got to wait.
What do you think about, Nick? Agree?
I agree with Austin primarily. If he hits another 45 the next couple of weeks, he was off the field for a bit, wasn't he, with HI this week? Yeah,
8 minutes.
Yeah, so, you know, if he hits another 45, which, I don't know, didn't seem out of his realm of possibilities, I suppose, then he'll make you another 69,000 in the next 2 weeks. So I really think it's it could be worth a punt. We mentioned before, though, you know, there are a couple of options for a bit cheaper, which may just be a bit safer and give you a bit more of a runway, I suppose.
Yeah, I think it's show or go time for Tua Peake, I'll be honest. Like, you have to do it this week. He's got the Storm and the Raiders. And then hopefully he gets that fourth week, like they ease him back, that they bring back CNK round five or later. So it really is a bit of a gamble, isn't it, guys?
Yeah.
Yeah. So check your risk matrix, I think it's for me. If you've got a whole bunch of other things on fire, I wouldn't get too peaky. Like if you're thinking, geez, I've got two trades to make this week and probably two next week. But I'd also say that Tua Peake could be, at this point, your gateway to a guy like Jaden Campbell, maybe round five when he returns.
Oh, yeah. He should get up around JC's price for a straight swap. So I don't mind him as a pivot for like newer owners, bank what, like 20K or something.
Yeah, that's it. For new, I reckon he's a great option. And then then pivot straight out to Campbell when it's time, when Tua Peake stops playing.
Yeah.
Or even if you didn't like what you saw from Paps on the weekend with his 20, which was, he didn't look like the same guy. And, you know, we're messaging Mitch and he was sort of saying, I bloody told you guys, because, you know, he sort of thinks, you know, the injuries he sustained just won't ever lead him to be fantasy relevant ever again.
I'm not sure on that one. I'd say Panthers have been fantasy death for opposition wing fullbacks for the last 3 years now. So I wait to see him at least this week before trying to bail on Paps.
Yeah, I tend to agree with Stu there, given, you know, that game was very, very sloppy. So
And very tight, but they were still tight around the middle, like of the ruck, where Paps likes to try and side through.
Yeah.
He's not an out-the-back guy. He's a through-the-middle. All right, Eric Bryant is going, he's got 110k in the bank. Is there anyone, any position under 380k worth trading in? He's got Piakura and Burbo that he trusts as a 17th man over Salmon, Chan, Strange. Or should you just go and get someone like Galvin? I know, under 380.
Man, honestly, it sounds like you should just stick firm this week. And I mean, if you've got Kotrick, then you have a pick. You can just put Salmon in your 18 if he scores 35. Loop him in if he doesn't. Play one of Strange or Chan, I guess.
Yeah, I agree. Nick, anyone spring to mind for you as a buy under 380k?
No, I think we've sort of been through it so far, haven't we?
That's it. Excellent. Well, I'll give you the next one, mate. Mark Reed asks, how do we feel about Little's minutes? So, mate, he obviously had a bit of a standout performance.
Yeah, I think there were a few things in his performance which, you know, won't really stack up week to week. Yeah, I think he had a couple of turnover tackles or something. The two try saves, so those alone, what's that, 16 points or 14 points alone or something. So, you know, it depends what your expectations are for him. So if you're sort of thinking low 50s, then, you know, maybe get him. But I just don't see him necessarily getting 68 minutes. I think it might be 60 to 65 is what I think they may be doing.
Yeah. So if you take out the two try saves and the two turnover tackles there, he goes down to 52. That's still pretty decent, right? I'm pretty sure they'll get something like a try assist or a line break or something like that each week because he is a bit of a scooter. I know. What are you thinking there, Austin? People are kind of looking around for a hooker. They don't have Appy. What are you thinking?
For me, I want to see what Flano does again. If Flano gives him 60 minutes plus 65, if he gives him line 65, if he gives him 65 this week, then I would say it's go time. But honestly, he's already almost 600k. So like at that point, you want to be sure that they're almost going to be a keeper because to make money, they need to average 50, right? So
at that point, would you find the extra 35k and get Appy?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's even harder because if Galvin goes back to the bench next week, then you would assume that he's going to be spelling Appy or because Caesar's played some hooker, not well, but and Sullivan played the 14 role for the Dragons all last year. So it's very easy to see Benchy shuffling all three of them between some positions in the coming weeks. So they're both kind of got their risks. But if it was up to me, I'd take the goal kicker for sure over the other one.
Fair enough. The only good thing I'd say about Little is obviously he's not going to play Origin and does play 13 and 19. So if you do get him, you can play him like a keeper through that Origin period. He only misses around 16 in that time. So
give me Appy every day of the week.
Yeah. Even if you got to punt him round 13?
Yep, absolutely.
Fair enough. Got it. All right. James Mark Keeley's asking, Talis Duncan swap for Lenu. I think we're saying, look, okay, but not amazing because Duncan might have similar issues.
I think that's sideways, if I'm being honest.
Yeah. So who would you get? Okay, Lenu this week. Let's answer the other question. Both of you guys have Lenu this week. Who are you trading them to, Nick? Who are you selling Lenu to?
I'm going to Duncan at the moment. I cannot, because I've got virtually no cash in the bank, the other thing I can do is free up 30K by moving Cottridge to Galvin. That frees up like 39K. So then I think my budget's like 430, you know, and I sort of like the idea of Duncan having some upside. And other than to a PQ, you know, I don't see much upside with some job security there.
Yeah. Okay. Austin, who are you thinking?
Look, for me, we operate on the basis of about 150K is what we want from our trades. So if you go down to either a Galvin or a Talao this week, you're going to get that, make that trade worth it. But if you go upwards to Duncan and he gets that 50-minute roll for 35 points and he's only got it for 4 to 5 weeks, you're not going to get that value. And you're also going to have to make another trade to get that money out of your team and make it reusable. Like, so this week, if you bank the cash, if you say you got, like I've got McInnes, right? So I'm going to bank the cash from Lenu today.
Yep.
And then if McInnes falls again this week, I'm probably looking at a McInnes to a Gunn, like a Hopgood, or a McInnes to a Dave Feeder or something like that. So rather than having one failing guy that you can downgrade to another mid-ranger and have another mid guy who's kind of a slow burn, you'd have a cash cow plus a Gunn, which is always better.
Yeah, I like that idea too, assuming that you got the middles to cover for Lenu. For sure. I will say about Duncan, I've just had a quick look at the schedule here. So while the schedule isn't great, so we've got Broncos, Roosters, we do got the Bulldogs, but then the Warriors and Cronulla before the round 7 bye. So looking at this thing, I reckon that they'll probably try and bring back Arrow after the bye for that tough run because then they got Melbourne and then Penrith in successive weeks, rounds 8 and 9.
Mm.
So I reckon for Arrow, he seems to be unlikely to come back straight on that 4-week mark. I think he'd be back round 8 at this stage. So you might get 5 weeks. So let's see. But you are banking on him essentially having a big game and kind of pushing down that break even.
Yeah.
Excellent. Next one.
Just take a step back just to look at Talau again. The dude's like barely cracked being a 400K guy like ever. Like barely.
I mean, it's hard, and he's been playing in the two-time Wooden Spooners on a wing, like, and he's come back from an ACL. Like, this is one thing where I like to try. You got to look at players in a vacuum this year. Can't have that recency bias of, like, this is why people, big reason, this is why people missed out on Bryce Cartwright last year. They said, nah, he's washed. He was bad at the Titans. He hasn't been good at Penrith. And now look at him. So you got to take it on face value. He's playing on a good team. He's playing on the wing. He's basement price. He's dual. All he needs to do is score a try, like, in a week to get his price moving or just have a big play.
Yeah. Look, the last year we was fully uninjured, he did get that 31 point average, but you're right, Nick, it's low, but there is some money to be made there. But I know I'm still not doing Talau because of that, not just that recency bias, but also I know visually he hasn't met the eye test yet in the preseason either.
Fair enough.
Yeah, but I get why people are going to him, because you can certainly cash down, put some money in the bank.
Well, some people don't have a choice.
That's true.
It just hurts my heart bringing him in and my brain.
Yes. Same. I had him sitting there all last year for 14 rounds doing absolutely nothing, but try to be objective every year and not let past things affect it, because that can get you.
Fair enough.
On the contrary, like, we know Jacob Host is a dog, you know, like, he never goes anywhere, and yet people got talked into him last year as well, being like, oh yeah, he'll be going really well. It's like, but no, it's like history suggests that no. So I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see what Talau actually does. Would you wait a week before getting Talau?
You could definitely wait a week, but some people have been boxed into a corner due to Nui and Kotrick being dropped in the same week.
Yep. Yeah, Tessinu being cut is not great for those people. You've got both. And he's basically the only option there, unless you've got some money to move up, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Bostock's already started to move, and they just dropped their halfback. So I don't think they're going to be scoring too many more points this week either, to be honest. So,
now, Azaiko, Katoa, and Cody Nikarima aren't the half pairing of your dreams.
It's gross.
Oh, it's not great. Oh, so yeah, avoid Uncle Wayne's team for now. Plus, they got the bye next week. That's the other reason why we can get Bostock. You're buying a guy to give you coverage, and he's going to buy next week.
Good point. Yeah. Okay, yeah, avoid Bostock then. Okay.
Excellent. Yep. So enjoy Tommy Talau, Nick. Next.
I feel so gross. God damn it.
Okay. Next question. Lance Saggers is wondering about Kotrick. I think we've answered the question. Is it Galvin or is it Talau? I think the safer one is Talau at this stage. Although, you know, the upside's limited, but he did average 30 in 2020, as Austin said. Adam James Sargent says, if you could buy any two players this week, do you think make the most cash between now and Origin? Who are they? So the two largest, this is a great question. The two largest cash cows between now and Origin. Maybe just give me a top guy. Austin, is there anyone who comes to mind for you? Going to make you real cash?
Who's going to make the most cash between now and Origin?
Yeah, any player.
Oh, man, this is really hard because all the cheapies fell flat on their face except for Burbo. Yeah, except for Burbo. That's it. Like, Burbo and it would have to be, it would have to be, if we're talking cash, are we talking cash cows in the key?
No, anyone. I think he's just like, I don't care. But
okay, so if Tua Pickey keeps his spot, it'll be Tua Pickey. If Jaden Campbell comes back and guns it, it'll be Campbell into a gun at 700K.
And Burbo, obviously, if you don't have him, I reckon we'll just, because a guy can average 40 playing at centre. Yeah, exactly. Like, thank you very much.
Yep.
So, yeah, and definitely, I think if Campbell is actually fit when he comes back, we'll make it. Also, I think, as dumb as it sounds, I reckon Paps will probably fall probably another week or two, and then I reckon he's going to bust out in some sort of way once their draw gets a little bit easier. We've got to remember, everyone, the first few weeks have been tuned up by Abdo and Volandis to be the most competitive possible. So it's all the tough sides playing all the other tough sides for the most part. And then after a few weeks, it kind of drops off as they force, you know, the good sides to play the bad sides. And that's when we should really start to see some good scores come out. They just want to be able to get the end of round five and say, this is the most competitive year ever.
Yeah, true. They do that every year, yeah.
Oh, God. Anyway.
And Pappy is owned by 43% of coaches. So, like, if you've got the issue that he's scoring 20, everyone's got the issue scoring 20.
That's true. All right. Alex Pace also asked, what do you make of Appy's prospect with this bench? And personally, I'm salivating. I bought him last week on a kind of a hope and a prayer that he would be on a good bench this week. And he actually looks like he's on a pretty good bench. So how about you, Nick? Like, what are you thinking about Appy's chances here? So essentially, it's got Caesar on the bench plus, you know, a couple of Pole, Twal, and of Fainu.
I didn't really look at this from Matthew's point of view, but yeah, I think it's a good bench. The person I worry about your team is Safer, because you've got two lock sort of players in Twal and Polo, who I don't know what sort of minutes they're going to play in their rotation, because you two are Kamara can play long minutes, Clemmer can play long minutes, so who knows what it looks like, hey?
Yeah, that's true. It does look really good for all of their 80-minute guys, like Papali and Bateman. They're not going to be cut short this year, but
no.
So Safer, you're right, might be short a couple of minutes, but then again, the props do need to get some turnover, so Twal will probably play his big minute role too. Fainu sort of short on, but like for Appy, for me, it looks wheels up for him. Like, I think Caesar and Galvin will swap over at some point, or possibly Bud Sullivan if he's sucking. That's about it. I reckon Appy, he's goal kicking. I reckon he'll play 70 to 75 at minimum. Austin, any disagreement on that one?
Yeah, I've been a big poo-poo of Appy even in the preseason. You guys were all kind of frothing over him. Because the problem is that, like, Appy, like, even if he plays 70 minutes, he has those games where he can just miss, like, he can just have a Reid Mahoney where he just misses 10 tackles and does nothing and scores 20, right?
Yep.
Like, that is 100% in his outcome, right?
His variation, like, his bell curve is wide.
Yeah, like, his floor and ceiling is probably the biggest of any 600, 700K player in the game. And with them carrying, I know you guys might not see it as a bad thing, but them carrying a utility for me is not a good sign, because I feel like it just means that they don't trust, because Appy's getting on in age, right? I know we bring it up, but he's probably in his early 30s now, right? He's also captain. But yeah, I don't see him playing 80. I'm seeing him playing averaging around 65, 70 minutes for like where he's priced at, almost maybe 49, 50. And he's priced at 44. So that doesn't make him a buy for me.
Fair enough. Look, I've got him a little bit higher than that, but I think that I have him playing more minutes. The look of the utility on this bench being Aiden Caesar, that brings into me mind that they're just not quite sure of where the half sparing are at. And they're just making sure that Lockie Galvin doesn't get tuned up week one, because they'll have, I'm guessing, every single Raider running to him, what, 3 hit-ups every set of 6?
Yes, well, Sullivan and Galvin are going to get absolutely torn apart if they're not big bodies, but neither is Caesar, so.
No, yeah. So Galvin's big enough. It's just that he's young. He just might not have the strength behind it yet.
Right. Problem is with that too, if he's missing tackles, chances are Appy's going to be as well.
True. So, well, look, let's see how we go. I guess the first probably 3 weeks will show the verdict on Appy. All right, Zion Kohu asks, Totola and you to Duncan and Terrell May or Kai Pierce-Paul? So it'd be Duncan and Kai Pierce-Paul. I'm not sure that, like, that's all risk from my side. Like, Duncan, we've obviously, he's got sort of lunar time stand with the news that Arrow is not going to go under surgery. Terrell May has probably a decent window. He's got that 8-week window, even with Jared Weir Hargraves back. But Kai Pierce-Paul, I know, I feel like he's only back for 1 week necessarily, because Dylan Lucas got a boot to the head.
Yeah, all these Totola, you don't have to trade. There's no reason to trade him. New needs to be traded, but Duncan, Pierce-Paul can all wait a week. Terrell May is line ball. That's on your risk tolerance. But if I was you, Zion, I'd just be trading New down and banking the cash and letting the dust settle for a week.
Yeah, no, it seems about right to me. Like, you could get Terrell May, but he'd be the only one that I'd get out of those three. Kai Pierce-Paul, you don't know what he'll play next week. But he did look really good.
Yeah, he looked absolutely immense. Problem is, we don't know. Like, if Lucas comes back, even if he doesn't start, there's a good chance they're just going to share that edge, which is just not good for anyone.
No.
Like, even if he goes at a PPM, he'll score like 40. I mean, not a PPM, but, you know, like 0.8 or something. He's certainly scored 40, 45. He came into the game priced at 500. So
that's it. I kind of actually wanted this him to do coming in a few weeks when someone got injured, not week two.
Yeah.
All right. Percy Wait for King asks, is Safer.
Sorry. Just a sec. Sorry. I just wanted to interrupt before. But Terrell May,
yes.
What sort of minutes are we predicting with that? Because there's a very strong, you know, 18 to 22 here, frothing for some minutes. Obviously, then on in the run-on side, but Terrell May, he might get some decent minutes this week or next week, but what's to say that that's sustainable and can generate some money for us? Stu, what do you reckon?
Look, I think that Terrell May is probably one of the safer prospects there. I think White is the guy who benefits from Lenny getting sprung with Rear Hargraves coming back. It looks like they really do want to try and keep Terrell May in the squad. And he did look good while he was out there. And even the coach basically said he looked too good to take him off. So For me, it's one of those ones where I think that his position is safe. As for the minutes, you're right. You've got Lindsay Collins in there who can play extended minutes when required. And obviously the rotation last week was hurt due to the fact that they had both edges go off at various times with injuries. But the fact that they're carrying Sand and Smith indicates that the middles will play a little bit longer. So Tomal May, he'll get, what, 45 minutes? Is it that kind of 40-minute floor there, Austin?
Oh, look, so I...
Up to 50 if he, depending on the game?
Look, I would say that it's hard any week he could get from 35 to 45 because they can either have Radley play 60 minutes or they could just make one of the edges play 80 or they could have Lindsay Collins play more minutes. Like, it's just Robbo, like you said last night, didn't want to take him off. He looked too good. So what happens if he goes on and he looks bad? Like, look, Tyrell May's one of those ones is kind of like, I want to give it a week because it's like with Tepain, it's like if he had just five more minutes, he'd be a gun, but he might not get that every week.
That's true. And the hard part is that, like, for me, the reason why he's not been in my plans, 523K to spend on a guy who's starting in jump at 17. That's a lot of money. Like, the only guy I'd buy for that sort of price would be Ryan Madison.
Yeah. And to make 150K or even 100K, he needs to be averaging at least 40 to 45 minutes a game, which I think he'll average 40 minutes, 45 points, and make about another 80K or so on his price. So I don't think it's worth it. But there is a chance he could get some attacking stats and stuff like that. But you're kind of banking on him holding a 1.1 PPM, which he does have in his career, but does have low games. All players have low games. And if he has one of those low games, you kind of thin there.
He'll stall.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
What's really cool is in his reserve grade, he actually doesn't commit many missed tackles or errors. So his actual negative is really low. So any minute he's out there, sticks his tackles and he runs hard. So those are things that someone like Trent Robinson would really love, you know, that Payne Haas sort of archetype. I'm not comparing him, just sort of saying it's similar statistical profile to him. So, and he can play really long minutes. Like, just how he looked through reserve grade, he's hit 60 minutes frequently. High 40s up to 60 odd minutes. So he's definitely got capacity to go there. It's just whether it's available for him. And I think it might just be another year off potentially or another injury or two. My main concern is that you bring in Connor Watson in for Sandon Smith, or you bring in Egan Butcher or Gus Crichton, and then, you know, you got to give them decent sort of minutes because they're not the sort of guys who can play 20 and have some sort of impact on the game. Whereas I think Tyrell May can play 25, 30 minutes and have an impact on the game, if you know what I mean, like in terms of role, if you understand.
Yeah. Yeah, if you swap White with Angus, all of a sudden White goes from 20 minutes, Angus goes to 30, and then May might lose 5, 10 minutes here or there, which is enough to make him not a buy.
Mm.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think the general rule of not spending 500K on bench players is probably pretty appropriate at this point.
Yeah, he loves an offload too. Like, that's where his points come from. He went to the Tevita Pangai Jr. and Martin Tepau School of Football.
I like it.
Yeah, averages 2 offloads a game. So
that's good. All right. Well, look, Percy Watford King asks, is Seifert a must-have at this price or can we wait a week? Nick, I know you were saying before that with Paulie on the bench that Seifert can probably wait a week. His PPM in the middle is so crash hot.
Yeah, that's what I think. I was really hot in the preseason, but being a shit creek without a paddle, I think just wait a week on that one.
Austin, you agree on that one?
Yeah. Look, there's less data on Seifert than at lock, but what if I told you that Talis Duncan and Seifert had around the same PPM in lock starts? Would you be surprised?
I would, honestly, but yeah, I know. Seifert's been a gun when on the edge role, but in the middle, it just slows down a little bit. Not sure what that's about.
Yeah, just more lateral movement, I guess.
Yeah, must be.
Duncan's a better eye test player, I reckon. Like, Seifert seems more of a plotter, as Duncan more explosive, like the tackling and running into the line as well, for mine. I think he's a better player already, to be honest.
Yeah, no, I'm not debating he's a better player. I'm just saying they actually have the same work rate, but one is 40K more expensive.
Yeah, gotcha.
Yeah.
All right. Joe Watkins asked trade option for Talis Duncan. We've talked about that to death. So let's go for Michael Gilliver asked, dump McInnes, go May. Austin, you're an owner. Are you dumping McInnes or are you waiting a week?
No, I'm going to wait a week because the prevailing knowledge is that Jack Williams will not play 50 minutes a week because they tried that about 6 years ago and it didn't work. So I'm hoping that someone said that McInnes put his hand up and asked to be taken off. So I'm going to go with it's early season and McInnes got gassed from tackling everything every second and that he's going to play at least 55 this week. The line for me is like, if he plays 55 this week to 50, then you can sell him. But you'd feel stupid if he comes out and plays 60 this week for 58 points.
points, and you've got to rid of him for May, who plays 35 and scores 40.
And look, I think last week, I think they were getting massacred straight up the middle early on, just from foot speed and how quickly the Warriors were playing. And so I think that's why they brought on Jack Williams as early as they did, just had a little bit more speed in the middle, try and eliminate some of those early rushes from the Warriors, which seemed to slow down once they changed things up. And it allowed McInnes to come back in to do his normal workhorse role a bit later on. All right, so let's go. We're onto the Instagram questions now. Matt's 746 goes, we trade Tupine for Duncan. We talked about that one. Sam Hewitt asks, do you sell Kotrick? I think we said if Talau or Galvin, depending on your risk matrix there and your coverage needs. But obviously, Talau has a minimum 6-week runway, unless he really stinks it up, in which case we might see Raymond Vunga back.
Yeah, I think if you have Kotrick, I think you just hold him this week and see what happens next week, because Talau and Galvin, even if they score a 40, their price is going very far. It's the week after it starts to get away.
That's true. Yeah, especially for the run, which that he looks like he's got coming up there.
Yeah. Well, to allow you're banking no money, and Kotrick to Galvin's 35K. And then, yeah, if they get shuffled next week, then you're just in the same spot and down a trade.
Mm. All right. We talk about another forward bench for Cam McInnes. I think that's just, look, obviously there is concern there. That's why I didn't hop on him last week once I saw that four forward bench. I was thinking about it. But yes, for me, Cam McInnes is a little bit of a concern there, but just wait a week because he still got to 40, which was pretty good. Cameron Colby, is Carrez and Papi a hold? So Ryan Pappenhausen. Nick, thoughts for Pappenhausen? I know that you were worried.
Yeah, I wasn't so worried. Just Misha was more worried, and I did agree with him somewhat. But yeah, the game was pretty mucked up, and I already mentioned off the top of the podcast, the Bulldogs had no ball either, so I think both are still hold. Pappenhausen particularly, because he's got the round four bye, so you can at least hold until then and then move him on. So I think you got another couple of rounds to have a look and then work it out from there. But Carrez is a holder keeper at this stage in the centres based upon what he's put up previously.
The fact that he got to 35 in such like a trash fire of a game at centre is just, he moved back to the wing, whatever else. I kind of like it. Then how about you, Austin?
Yeah, Carrez to score 35. He actually averages, so yeah, he averages 40 on the wing and he averages 49 in the center. So either way, he's a hold.
Yeah, same for me. And it's just the fact that he worked his way up from basically nowhere. He still ended up with 157 meters. He got himself an offload. He got four tackle breaks, 14 tackles. He was busy. So he's got no chill. We like guys with no chill on this podcast. Next, Benjamin Zero. He's got an option to move from Keeney to Little for some reason. So he's obviously got like 400 grand in the bank. So, and he's saying that potentially keep Little and Cheese between the cover hooker for every major and minor buy round, and then you can upgrade after Origin. Now, I'll be honest with you, Benjamin. I know other people like buy, you know, Origin planning sort of not so far out. I kind of like planning a bit far out. It's not a bad week to get on Little, because if nothing else, he'll bump up a little bit. And if you're going to hold him, the cash generation doesn't matter as much, does it, Austin? Like, because you'll just get the points through that period and you won't have to burn trades across the buy rounds.
Yeah, well, I mean, that is if Little is still fit, if he's still playing the right minute, if you don't have to trade him out, you know, like there's so many, when you plan this far ahead, like 11, 12 weeks, there's so many question marks for anything that could happen, right? So,
oh, yep.
Yeah, I don't know if maybe, I don't know, Keeney, if you don't, like it feels like to me, if you're trading Keeney and you don't have winger fullback cover, you should be looking more towards getting, maybe waiting a week for Campbell or something. He's got more, probably average the same as Little, but make more money. I don't know, like, yeah.
I think it's positionally, the hardest thing for me was hooker coverage positionally over that Origin period. Father is my so strong on Cheese early in the year was due to his schedule and the fact that he's basically the only recognized hooker in that club now. So with Little, it's kind of very similar there. They're still only got Mulhausen, who's really a bit of an apprentice there. So if anything happens to Little, it's kind of panic stations for everyone involved, right?
Yeah. No, I don't mind it. I like it.
Yep. Nick?
Yeah, I don't see why not. Yeah. Yep.
Excellent. G Brett 96 says, given how much of an international war crime round one was, is a no trades wait and see the play of the week? I think that Austin's definitely been promoting that. I'm kind of thinking that despite my urgency to trade out Kalen Ponga because of how poorly he played for me last week. Nick, I keep on, I know, I just muck around with trades until I talk myself out.
Bad Stuart, bad.
Nick's left the chat. Excellent. So
I would hold trades, mate, because like unless you have a definite sell, which is the only definite sell from round one is Spencer Lee. That's all I can say. Like, yeah.
Yeah, I like that. Awesome. So, okay, we've talked about what to do with Kotrick and Tessie New. So we'll start with answering your question, mate. Tyrrell may buy. I think the answer is we'd like him to be a buy. But unfortunately, they've somehow fit all of these middle options under their sombrero at the Rooster. So he's probably not Tyrrell may unless they get some more injuries. Hoopniks is asking, has Strange and Burbo starting Tessie New at wing fullback and Kotrick as emergency cover. So he's got the new Kotrick combo. He can upgrade Tessie to anyone that says he's got about 180K in the bank. He can upgrade Tessie to anyone under 600K, prefer a DPP. He's going as the best option, Carrez, Chris, or down to Talau, and hopefully get Jaden Campbell in a week or two. Nick, gut check on that.
I like Carrez.
Yeah, I like Carrez. How about you, Austin?
I like Carrez, but with Campbell being a week away at this point, I would honestly, he's got no cover though, doesn't he?
He's got nothing, dude.
Yeah, I guess it'd have to be Carrez. I'd almost want you to find another 30K. You could go Kotrick down to Galvin and then you could go new up Taylor May.
That's true. But did you rate Carrez. Taylor May's performance that much?
Oh, yeah, I did. He looks like Gagai area. Like his first thought is run. He loves an offload. He's very strong. But yeah. I wish I started with him, basically, is what I'm trying to say.
Look, he certainly did look good, though. I wanted to see a couple of games before he spent 600K on a guy who's coming back from that ACL. But it looks like he spent that year just getting jacked.
Well, I mean, he did have 12. They gave him the full 12 months, and obviously he's come back better for it. But yeah, I think you're right. Carrez is the buy there.
Excellent. Okay.
What's the difference between Taylor May and Bradman Best? Like, really? I think Taylor just had a really good game, right?
Huh?
I think he's asking, is there a difference between Taylor May and Bradman Best?
Yeah, Bradman Best is not as fast as Taylor May.
Is he?
I'd say that there's not much difference between May and Targo, though.
Yeah, no, not at all. They're definitely the same player.
Mm. Okay.
All right, having a look here, Pez Diaz moving to Toledo to KPP. I think we're saying wait on Kai Pierce-Paul. Kai Pierce-Paul could absolutely massacre this game and the spot could be his because that spot was very much open. So, but I would wait a week for Kai Pierce-Paul. Richard64, he's going new to Rocco Berry. He's going looking around 400K and he's got too many Raiders to get in Chris. And he's also got Kotrick as wing cover, but going to wait a week. So he has to trade down from you under 400K, guys. Is there anyone else that he could get other than Rocco Berry?
For me, it's, yeah, like I said before, it's Chris or Talau. I know you have a lot of Raiders, but Chris has value at center that I'm not sure. Like, Chris has value that he's shown. Rocco Berry hasn't shown himself to be anything other than a pumpkin, so.
Oh, look, yeah, I like Rocco Berry. I like watching him play, but it is a bit of a struggle to see him really cracking that, like, next tier of player, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, and I'm having a look at all the other centers who are staying this week. Yeah, you really, it's either Talau or it's Chris. There's no one else under that 400K mark who you can really afford here. Otherwise, you're talking about the equivalent of Remus Smith, and you may as well just quit the season now, dude.
Yeah.
All right, Nick, this one is for you. Next cab off the rank is, so he's got Lenu and you. He wants to sell both to Aiken and a cheapie, probably like Talau. What would you do, Nick, knowing that Lemuelu's probably got a 4-week layoff with that knee injury?
I wouldn't jump on Aiken. I'd look at Carrez and then, you know, grab Chris or, no, Chris is too much, Talau, I suppose.
Isn't it funny? We're talking ourselves into Talau now.
He's the answer to a lot of problems, isn't he?
I'm not sure
he's not a good answer. He's not a good answer. He's an answer.
Okay. No, that's it. It's like being in like a paper bag with sharks circling, mate. Like, yes, it's slightly better than just being in the open, but not that much better.
Yeah. At least you know you'll die soon.
All right. Okay, so Jeffers Bill is asking, basically saying, could slot Strange in the centers, and he's going linear new to Tyrrell May and Galvin. I think we said Tyrrell May, possibly not. We can go Chris and Galvin and bank 100K. I think that's probably a little bit safer. Mm. So, because that way you know you got Chris until round 10. So, and the Raiders didn't look as terrible as the bad.
Yeah. Just on Aiken before we get away from that question a bit quick. Yep. They said 4 weeks for Lemuelu and they have the bye next week. So he's not worth a bye. He's not worth consideration at all. So don't even think about going near him.
Yep. There we go. So yeah, that Aitken is one of those guys who, if he got the start, he's absolutely worth the thing, because he's almost a 700k edge just because of his work rate.
Yeah.
But he just can't get the start. All right, JK03 is saying trading Finifioaki and Moses due to groin, so about $1 million there, to Fogarty and Talas Duncan. Obviously, we've got a little bit of concern about Duncan, but look, Moses down to Fogarty doesn't look like the worst trade, considering that Moses looks to be a little bit hobbled at the moment. Austin, what are your thoughts?
Yep, I like Moses to Fogarty. All the halves above Moses aren't buys right now, and the only person that looks like they're doing remotely well is Fogarty.
Yeah, that's it from a value standpoint. Apart from
Burton's entered the conversation.
Matty Burton.
Oh yeah, he should leave.
No, the only other guy who scored well on the weekend was two guys who I didn't believe that I'd be talking about right now. It would be the halfback for the Knights and the 5/8 for the Seagulls. So the less said about them, the better.
Yep.
All right, moving on. Tuck New Zealand says, boys, I'm in the no clearer team, but he's got Moses and Fogarty. He's thinking he might want to sell Moses. He has Fogarty. What's the play? The play, mate, is that's an ugly position to be in. I'll probably hold Moses at that point.
No, I mean, this is hard because we don't know what other cheapies he has. Like, if you don't have Hutcho or Flanagan, but if you have Strange, you have half cover, I'd almost move him to a non-half and wait for Cleary to drop down and then bring him in. Because trading to another half that isn't Cleary or Hines, I think, feels like a waste to me.
Mm. Nick, obviously, without mentioning the word Matt Burton, what would you do with Mitchell Moses if you had him this week? You're already on Fogarty.
Yeah, I agree.
Up, fair enough. Nick, your audio's died, mate. I think I'm coming through your laptop.
Yeah.
Excellent. All right. Yep. And even the options who we were mid-range, we thought we might get, you know, of some hope from, like, Sean O'Sullivan, they're just cut. So
yeah, that's weird.
Yeah. Oh, look, he didn't look great. He wasn't running that team around well. But obviously, I think Uncle Wayne's made a decision there, which is why I try and have as few Dolphins in my squad as I can, because Uncle Wayne does what he wants.
Mm.
Jackson Hastings. Yeah, no, I'm looking down the list here. Sam Walker.
It's bad. It's bad.
Oh, it keeps on. Yeah, I'm just seeing how far I have to go before I see someone who I want to own. A long way. Okay.
Hutcho. Yeah.
It's Bud Sullivan.
Yeah,
Hutchinson or Bud Sullivan. That's it. It's not great. Next. Okay, Alex Roberts says.
Would you sell Moses for like Latrell? Just go absolute gunner.
I'd go Moses.
I'd take Turbo for 100k less.
Yeah, I'd take Turbo.
Yeah.
Because Latrell is the sort of guy who got the 80 in about 30 minutes last week and then got one for the other 50. So the issue is some games you get two halves, two of those 50-minute performances.
Yeah. Either that or you go with SJ, who looks like he's going to continue his 60 average this year, and he has no buys up until around 13 or something. That's the only other one I like, but it still feels like a waste because you want to end up with Hines and Cleary anyway.
Yeah. I seriously would consider, though, go get Turbo with that.
Yeah. That.
All right. Alex Roberts has a bit of a sideways thing here. He says he wants to get Karaz a little. I'd say, mate, just leave Karaz alone. So little... you want to wait at least a week on, I'd find another way to get little if you are super keen. Alex Roberts also asks, he can go Mariota to Seyfarth. So Ada Mariota to Seyfarth. I'd do that one. There's not many people I'd get to pick up Seyfarth, but getting rid of Ada Mariota is one.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, bench prop to starting lock. It's, you know, just in case he does crack off a good game or two, it's like, as opposed to Mariota's going to be doing nothing for your squad.
Yeah, I guess, yeah.
Plus, you got Horsburgh due back soon. Yeah, Morgan Smithies has knocked it out of the park. There's just going to be no minutes for these edge players.
Like, yeah, no, it's just, yeah, I just don't like, I just feel like cash down instead of, but yeah, I guess depends what you need. So
that's true. You could cash down, but there's not many left this week. Okay. Lockie Black is talking about Duncan and Little. I think we've talked that one to death. Minkin also asked Duncan or Seyfarth. I think we talked that one to death. Nick Einorbs asked, what do we think of Jaden Bud Sullivan? So starting number 7 this week, does have Aiden Caesar on the bench. What are you feeling?
Man, I really have no idea. I mean, anyone who thinks they know, I don't think they really know, to be honest. You know, who knows how many minutes he's going to get? Is he going to play 60-odd minutes? No idea. He's priced at 30, so he could easily just hit that. I don't think he's going to exceed it, is probably long and short of it.
I think the winner of this half pairing is Appy. I'll be completely honest with you. I think we'll see some dummy half kicks out of him, kind of like percent, and some tackle four kicks out of a few players in this squad to try and stop that fifth play rush on the kicker. Because I'm looking at the maximum number of meters that Sullivan's kicked in his career. He had one game for the Dragons where Hunt was out, round 13, 2023, kicked for 500 meters. He's never kicked for more than 300 meters in any other game.
Well,
Yeah, I see him kicking like 300 meters, missing like six tackles, running for like 50 meters and hitting out like a 30 or something, you know, 25-30.
How about you, Austin?
Yeah, I'm the same. Sullivan does have those big games in him. It's just he's always played next to a dominant kicker.
So. Yeah, that's why I'm still high nappy, but we'll wait for the game. What time is that game? I might try and get to that.
No, I definitely agree that Appy's gonna. He'll probably end up with 80 to 100 kick meters.
Okay, something like that. I'm keen on Appy, but I'm not driving to Canberra keen. Okay, so 3 p.m. Saturday. Watch it.
A lot
watch
of
it
games
on TV.
This year, they've actually been kicked out of dummy half tackle four, like heaps. I feel like compared to last year, I've got no stats to back me up, but eye test wise, it's definitely up. So I could definitely see Appy doing that quite a few times.
Yes, I think that the blockers change that they've made, where they're penalising people blocking access to the kickers, I think is otherwise known as the anti-clear rule. Number one, the number two being the short dropout, is designed to help the hookers. Next up, we have CJ. Who's the most urgent buy of the round? Austin, gut check for you. Who is there anyone who you want to get on this week? Who's making you nervous not owning them?
The person that's making me twitch is Tyrell May, but I think that's more just FOMO. Like it's the first week where we can trade. You got people that you want to trade out, and I think it's more that they're not an urgent. No one is a must buy, but it's more just it's the first week I can trade, I should trade type of thing. But no, I don't think the urgent buys, to be honest.
Nick?
I think Turbo. I think you got to get on now if you don't have him.
Turbo makes me so nervous. Like, he looks so good. That's the only one for me where I feel like I'm just going to get annihilated. May not be this week, may not be next week. He could be busted. I could be wrong. But I just feel like he looked of that ilk of that 2021. I'm not saying that he'll bring back 2021. He's not saying he's going to score 150, but he looked very good.
It looked like he had a base. It was nice. I wasn't waiting for a big play. He was just kind of accumulating it as the game went on.
That's it. And if one of those ones really came off, like, you know, he got the instead of the line break assist, that was a line break assist and a try assist for that
Saab runaway.
Saab runaway. If he got that line thing over the try, like try over the line, if he got another offload.
There's a 90 in there, yeah.
It's worrying me. So I'm going to try and get in Turbo, but it's with how much of my team that I've got to rip apart, which I've got to take into account.
Do it now.
Honestly, it's only how much I want to sell points because how much you disappointed me, but it seems like a waste. Now, next one. With Knights running two props on the bench, is Jacob Saifidi worth looking at? No. Perhaps lunch money. He is not. Curtis is going to go Kotrick to Galvin and Taumalolo for May. I feel like, mate, that's all risk. I do think, hold on, guys, Taumalolo. Nick, is Taumalolo a sell? Played 21 minutes for 20 points last week.
No, I don't think so. I think that's a one-off. I don't think he's going to play 20. I think he's going to play that 40 to 45 each week, right? Any disagreement, Austin?
No, I feel the exact same. He went at a PPM. So I would hold him, see what happens week for sure.
Yeah, I think they were just tuning them up this week. Their draw doesn't look like they're going to tune up every squad every week. Excellent. So, and I think we said that May's probably not the guy. Two of each says we trust McInnes from him last week. I think we kind of said yes. And look, I'd say if you want to pick up Fogarty instead, that's not the worst, but it depends on your personal cover. So if you're playing someone like Cleary and Kyle Flanagan, yes, you could pick up Fogarty and add in some safety there. Discussing SS best pivot for Lenu. I think we talked through that one a number of times. Cash down or fill in a hole in your squad. Malachi asks, Tommy Talau time, which I think Austin says yes. Nick says reluctantly yes. And I say, if I have to. Sammy Fro, Tommy Turbo Redemption.
Just to step back, I think Austin's point of getting cash now is a good idea. That's why I'm doing it.
Fair enough. I like it. Tommy, I guess... But obviously, for Kotrick, you get $0, so it's
just lean into the skid, Nick. You want Tommy to allow, mate. Just admit it.
Lean into the skid mark, dude.
Skid my pants.
Tommy Talau redemption season from Sammy Fro. 4 to 6 games enough to be a buy. I'll be honest with you, Sammy Fro, he's probably a get buy for me now. I've got a buy rating on Tommy Turbo, even if they have a tough draw. It's the only thing that stopped me from immediately putting him in my squad after watching that game. So
wait, I think he's talking about Talau, not Turbo.
Oh, well, in that case, no. It's not redemption season. It's Tommy Talau. Oh, God.
Because it's 4 to 6 games enough to be a buy.
I mean, I was like, if you're waiting on watching on Turbo for 4 to 6 weeks, Tommy Talau, 4 to 6 weeks is enough for Talau to be a buy if you believe that he can get back to the 30 average. Because they're saying high grade hamstring. And for a guy like Saab, who's all relying on sprints, it's not six, it's 6 to 8, probably 8.
Yeah. This is where I pull the double bluff from Mark and not get him.
But the issue is he's absolutely going to stink. And I bet you, it could be, just be aware, everyone at home, if you go and buy him in 3 weeks' time, it could be number 21, which is where he probably should be. And
you'll get 3 errors, bomb 2 tries, and 4 tackles. Like, seriously, it's going
to
happen.
I reckon this is our advice for Tommy Talau. If you buy him and he goes well, all kudos to us. If you don't buy him and he doesn't go well, then all kudos to us.
Yeah, that's it. all I can say is, we're going to see Raymond Tuimalu Vega in there sooner rather than later, most likely.
I heard he's quite far down the pecking order.
He's bad.
I was having a look before. I think they'd prefer to move Parker back into the centres, move Garrick back out onto a wing than bring in him this season. Yeah, I think he's another season or two away.
Yeah,
fair enough. All right. Best hooker pivot option from J-Fox. So if you've got to name your top 3 hookers to own at the moment, look, for points for bang for buck at the moment, I like having Cheese for that DPP somewhere in your squad. So, and the fact that he doesn't play Origin. Little obviously had that breakout game, but expecting to go back to around that 50s average. It's just that you're likely to gain some cash quickly if he does have another good game. None of the other hookers really knocked out the park for me last week. Oh, Cookie came back with a 60, but they all played through the middle there. Everyone else, all those middle ground guys, they really were so-so.
Look, I'll be honest. Yeah, Cookie, it was mainly Cookie. Grant did well to put up a 49 in that game, and then it's kind of the rest is just
Cheese. Ghost pointed to that. Reese Robson, sorry, he got the 52, which is kind of what we're hoping for.
Yeah, Robbo was good too.
That was expected though.
It was, but he didn't get a crack 50 after round 13 last year, mate. So the fact that he got there, we're very happy.
We'll see.
He made 6K, so whoop-de-doo.
That's true, but I'm just saying you can get on this week as far as the pivot. The only other guy that I do is I reckon that Appy will do well. He's in my squad. Again, your mileage may vary.
Do we think, to Austin's point a few questions ago, do you think Reid Marnie can get his tackles down with 10 last week?
No.
Do we think he can get it? It's just impossible?
No, it's not. It's impossible in the team they have right now, because they don't have any, there's no big bodies in the middle to help him. So it's just kind of like, if you watched him as well, the problem is Marnie has like 4 missed tackles in a game where he just flings himself out of the line at someone.
Chop someone's legs and slow them down.
Yeah.
Not even trying to make a tackle, like just flings himself out of a cannon because that guy's getting the ball.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And look, Marnie last week, he did get a few kicks and he kicked for 132 meters, which is really expected, what I love to see. So he did 51 tackles, 10 missed tackles. So that's the reason why. So 51 tackles, 2 tackle breaks, 132 kick meters for 44 points is really concerning for me. The fact that he only ran for 43.
Yeah. If he's playing in any team other than the Bulldogs, like even in the Raiders, it'd be a good buy because the middles can help him. But I don't think he's a buy if he sticks ever.
No.
Did you guys see that Max King quick interview today? He's like, oh, this team, you know, the togetherness and the vibes, it's just fantastic. Like he's loving it. He's saying in the last 3 years it's been terrible.
He's just got paid.
I know. He's just got paid for another 3 years. I get that.
He's not going to say, I hate it here. Get me out of here. He says it with his eyes, but he can't physically.
He does.
Say it.
He does say it with his eyes, doesn't he?
He's like, I'm off contract in a year. Does anyone need a bench forward? Maybe Penrith or Melbourne?
He's just got
a contract at the time where there's no middles on the market anymore.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
He's got his 600 grand that he wanted. But look, the fact that he put out a 52 in 42 minutes is amazing. Which, by the way,
I think he had a try saver.
He did, but he's back to his one PPM.
Save a lot this year, though.
My question is, Josh Curran, 50 points. Is Josh Curran of interest to us? So essentially, came out. He actually played the role we thought he was going to play. He just did it off the bench. 63 minutes, 47 points.
You know what? I reckon that's planned because rather than have Curran start and waste an interchange to get Farmasuli on for 20 minutes, then get Curran back on, you just have Farmasuli play the first 20 and then leave Curran out there for 60.
Because that way he gets a break at halftime.
Yeah, but the problem is can you trust that week to week? The answer is probably no, but I'm
he's also the best middle in this squad at the moment. Like yeah, Kurt Mann and Josh Curran, apparently.
Yeah, I'm just fully expecting Curran to be 650K in like 5 weeks and being like, yep, that's the one that got away. But
yeah, I don't know. I'll put it this way. Out of the two, I would rather have Josh Curran at the moment than Terrell May, as far as just because the fact that the Roosters are two stacked, right?
Whereas yeah,
100%. The Bulldogs exactly have the 100%. Absolute opposite thing. Sorry, I was just trying to think, why am I so unkeen about it? Because the thing about this today, it's like, because I was looking at Josh Curran going, he is DPP. He's got such a better runway because that team is so much worse in the middle.
Yeah, any week he could swap and just start. They could just dump Postum, whatever his name is.
They could dump Salmon. They could dump any of that starting squad who's not named Max King or Kickout Preston.
Pretty much, yeah.
For him. And they could even move Preston, I'll be honest with you. So,
well, none of the Edges played 80 on the weekend. So.
That's it. Oh, they're getting pumped.
So is Josh Curran a buy over May? Is that where we're leaning?
Yes.
Or I think we are, but I'm not, if you know what I mean, I'm not happy about it, but I am leaning.
And wait another week?
I would almost wait another week to see both roles.
I would take, because if nothing else, that we know that Terrell May's window closes in 8 weeks' time, right? A maximum. Once Spencer Lenu gets back, there's just way too many middles in that squad, and it could close before then. Josh Curran, they would need to sign someone mid-season, and there's no one available for him to lose the spot.
Apparently Zane Tedovano did his PCL, so that old age, that
they're cursed.
Experience signing, the experience signing is gone. So
they are cursed in the middle. They really are.
I can just imagine Gould in the upstairs headquarters, just throwing stuff.
What's the bet that he did it like jiu-jitsu or something? Someone's wreathed his freaking knee. Anyway, I'm thinking, how do you do a PCL like that? It's like, yeah, someone's wreathed his knee
because he rocked up to training late.
Probably
had to rest. Someone's
baseball batted him.
Mate, I'd sleep over there in the morning, like sleep overnight at that place.
It's funny though, because it really highlights from clubs, like, not to get off track, but like it seems like some clubs are really good at managing their players and some aren't. Like, say there's been a stack, like, just because I'm a Penrith fan, there's been a stack of Penrith boys that have left the club and then done major injuries at their new club.
Mm. Yeah, no, look, the strength and conditioning stuff that they do, and I think that they front load so much at Penrith and then they just keep them sweet for the season. But I also think it's when you're playing in a good club, and Mitch has mentioned this before, you don't need to play 105% every week, which like you often see them, you know, they play within themselves a little bit.
Yeah.
Whereas if at these bad clubs, they have to give every single ounce, and that's when you're tired is when you get injured.
Just
sometimes.
To lose by 20 points, yeah.
Well, as opposed to 40, yep.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is what the Bulldogs were trying to do, essentially not get flogged.
Yeah, I think I'd give up too.
What was that kick out? Would you like 18 weeks off with a pec so you can sit around? And yeah, thanks for that. Awesome. Let's get back on track. Shuey Vasacek, which I love, mate, that name. He's got 938K to spend on a wing fullback and a free choice, which it sounds like he's selling Ponga like I am. So he's talking about buying Manu and a Talau or Galvin, or two mid-rangers like Chris and May. Mate, it feels like unless you got all this cash because you forgot to buy a player.
Or he's selling Cleary. I saw some chat about selling Cleary in the Discord and I don't condone it at all. But
I don't know what you're smoking. Like, he's a soft game. The dude has gears. So.
I mean, yeah, we know, like, you just if you want, you can ask TK how it went last year when he sold Cleary. Spoilers, it didn't end well.
Oh, mate, or not starting with Cleary in particular years, right?
Yeah.
Just waiting for the dip. It's like, I'm not sure where the dip is. The dip might be 900K.
Yeah.
Okay, so, mate, I would say don't get Manu. I think that was an exceptional game by Manu, but I think that there's not every week that he pulls out the flick pass from everywhere and then bounces off. Like, he added, like, a 25-point run. Like
the pass, yeah.
Yeah, and, like, a David Fifita run through the middle where he got, like, 20 points off that too. So I wouldn't get Manu. I'd pick up Turbo or
yep.
I'd even pick up Teddy before I pick up Manu.
Manu is more expensive than Tom Trovich, so I don't know what you're thinking, but get Turbo.
Yep, done. And then just spend the rest of your money. You got 938 at that point. K, you can pick up like a guy like a Chris.
I'd probably Chris for safety, to allow for money.
There we go. Tom Lolo and you to Terrell May and Duncan. I think we've said that both Terrell May is definitely not a buy. Duncan's probably not a buy.
New to a cheapie, bank the money, move on next week.
That's it. And go and get Josh Curran if you really want to go to the casino.
Yep.
Cooler 9099. Nick, he's got new to Karaz and Kotrick to Galvin, which is cut rate, or he's going Keeney to Talau and new to May, which I think we're saying no to. So, or it's new to Chris and Lolo to someone like May or, you know, someone close by, which I think in this case, if we said Curran, new to Curran and Talmololo, new to Chris and Talmololo to Curran. What would you reckon?
I don't know. You go, Austin.
I was going to say, I would actually like, if he split. Oh, he doesn't have. Okay, hold on. Let me just look at his trades here. If he has enough to go from new to Karaz and doing Kotrick to Galvin, wouldn't you just do Keeney to Talau or Keeney to Galvin and then new to Karaz? I feel like that's the best out of these three options.
Yeah, I still like that one. Done. Problem solved. Moving on.
Why are we selling Keeney? Why not wait a week?
Because he's not playing in round three.
And he's not playing this week.
Yeah, and he's on a bye. And his B's in the toilet, mate.
He got an 18 last week. So it's basically...
It's too late.
Even if it's an extra week, right, for where...
It's not enough to get his price
Campbell.
Going.
No, he would need to score like a century and like, I don't know, win the lottery.
He actually didn't look that good, actually. I barely noticed him. I even watched that game.
Oh, they got slapped.
Did the Titans play or...?
Basically, yeah. I saw him carry the ball a couple of times. I thought, you're all right, but that was it. Like, he didn't...
He looks small, but it was also the edges at the Dragons were swarming. They've obviously listened to Flanagan where he says that he's going to personally beat them with a bat in the game after the game if they don't tackle hard. Because seriously, I've not seen so much effort from the outside backs at the Dragons for a long, long time.
The Dragons look really good. And even seeing some posts on their social media, they look like they're having fun. It's always good for a club. So
I think they're starting to feel like winners.
Yeah.
Which is a big change.
Yeah. Like, and Keeney looks small in not a good way. He looks small in like a... in a Cody Nikorima way, not a good Tane Tukapiki small, where he's small and evasive instead of, he's small, too small to be a fullback.
Hmm.
Can't dent the line or anything.
Definitely. No, I'd do that. Freckle asked, too late to get Tukapiki. I think, mate, it's this week or bust, and it's a gamble at that.
Yeah.
Seven asked, Keeney to May? No. Or Keeney to Little? Maybe. So the answer is that Keeney to Curran.
Yep.
And unless you just have no coverage for hookers, but he's already got Grant and Levi. So yeah, go get Curran.
He's got Flegler, Totola and Tupanua and Hughes and Salmon. So look, honestly, you can do whatever you want there. You're not even locked into a position.
No, that's it.
Just wait.
Yeah, you could wait and get JC next week if he's back.
I just wait. Yep.
Done.
Look, find another 80K and get Turbo.
Yeah, do that. Dom Sullivan asked to play this week, Flanagan or Hutch? So Flanagan is, who are the Dragons playing? So,
Dolphins?
The Dolphins, yeah.
Okay, so that's
Queensland.
Okay, so Flanagan is looking up on that side. So, and who are the Dogs playing? Sharks at home.
Look,
flip a coin.
I'm gonna say Hutch here because he's got a solid base and the Sharks like to get into a scrap where Flanagan scored 36 with a try, line break, tackle break and a try assist last week. So if you take all that out, he gets teen score where Hutcho basically got 30 in base last week.
I'd take Hutchinson for now just. So, but again, flip a coin. It's all on you, dude.
Yeah, or Lou Hutch, play Flanagan. Sure, you got Kotrick there.
All right. Thoughts on Tommy Talau? Yes, I think we're saying that he should be able to make a bit of cash. David Button asks, should I trade Cam McInnes to Terrell May? No. And Tessie New to Taylor May. So he wants to buy the May brothers.
Yeah. Oh, well, if you can't do the second without the first, don't do it at all. If you can do the, second, don't get Taylor May, get Tommy Turbo instead.
Yep. And, sounds good. And go, instead of getting May, go get Josh Curran anyway.
Yep.
Okay. Oh, geez. Jonty Millard apparently has $1.2 million for a wing fullback and a bench player. McInnes and New. Oh, okay. He's got McInnes and New.
Oh, okay.
So that's 1.1 plus 100K in the bank. So who does he want? So wing fullback, I'd go and get Curran and Turbo.
Yep. Either that or you hold McInnes and turn Nui into Talau and keep the money for next week.
That's true. All right. Last question. Second last question. James Hoken. Think you're trading Cotter Karaz to the May brothers. Cotter Karaz. I wouldn't be selling Karaz.
That is so sideways. That's crazy.
That's backwards.
I almost think that, yeah, that's backwards. I think that's backwards.
Yeah, like, no, the one good game for the brothers doesn't mean every good week. Like, you're selling two guys with no chill. Like, Karaz and Cotter are the players that you want in your fantasy squad because they'll tackle anything that moves. They'll palm, you know, anyone in the face. They're the type of guys you want, right?
And Penrith have a very early bye as well.
Round 5, round 6? Round 5.
I think four. No, it's five.
Five. It's after Melbourne. Yep. Yeah. Which reminds everyone at home, if you are looking to possibly sell a guy like Kotrick and not replace him with a guy like Galvin, but he's your only wing fullback cover, just remember in 2 weeks you need an answer.
Yeah.
All right, so let's get to the last one. So Captain Lyon, who got in just at the deadline for our questions tonight on the Discord. Is it worth getting rid of Titans players on the bye this week for Tigers players who don't have the next bye to round 13? And would you suggest position for position? So getting essentially wants to get rid of Keeney. Should he sell him this week?
Yeah, I think you hit the eject. Actually, so yeah, so the two clear sells this week are Spencer and Keeney for me.
Yep. And so for Keeney, whatever you position need coverage in. If you need Talao, go get Talao. If you need a half, I don't know why you do, but you can go get Galvin, but no, it's risky. There's no other real cheapies on the... Do not go and get Solomon for Tape because he's only there because Justin Olam is busted. So I've seen some people like, oh, I should go get him. It's like, no, you shouldn't.
No, don't. Yeah.
He's not even on a top 30 contract. He's just a dude who rocked up the training with boots and they just went, we'd rather play you than play any of the other nuggets in our squad.
Well, I mean, yeah, I looked at his resi stats and he looks like Solomon Okata reborn. But yeah, like you said, he's not even in the top 30. So stay clear of that one.
Yeah, like I'm just having a look. I just feel really bad for Brent Naden, right? Asikapoa and Asikapoa as well. Well, the fact that they are top 30 players, right? They're sitting around and they choose some dude who basically was just walking past on the street and go, mate, do you want to come play centers for us this week?
It's because they're terrible. Like... At least Tommy Talao has a namesake.
That's true. All right, guys, that is the end of the questions. Any final thoughts from you, Nick?
Yeah, I had a couple of additional questions.
Yes, okay. Bring them up, please.
No. Just from my own. No one has mentioned anything, I'm surprised, about Zach Hosking.
I own him.
No one asked about Zach Hosking. Well, he's a gun. You can get him, but there's only 3 weeks left. So it's this week or never.
Two, isn't it? I thought he'd be back three.
3 to 4, but I'm going to guess with Whitehead, it's probably closer to four.
Yeah, I think there's no questions about Hosking's because he's already 616K. And he's got like 2 weeks left before he maybe goes to a bench role. It's not worth it anymore. You kind of have to bank on him scoring 260s to even be worth it.
Yeah.
I hope so.
If you can get after him, it's one of those guys. It's like Tua Peake this week and then hope that he gets three grounds scores instead of two and scores well. Well, yeah, gets at least above a 40 this week.
Well, against the Tigers.
Against the Tigers, he could do a 60. And then who have the Raiders got?
Warriors after that. Yeah,
no. He'll play well against the Warriors.
Yeah. You're just hoping he scores this week. Otherwise, he's got no base.
The thing with Hosking, though, is that he might keep the spot afterwards because he's playing like a gun.
He might, but it's also Ricky Stewart who doesn't really care.
Yeah, I can't. Yeah, yeah.
And it's the club captain whose job that he's taking.
Yeah.
So, look, it's Ricky. Who knows? This week, it could be Chris could be playing on the edge.
The other one no one mentioned is Tohu. I thought he might come into some people's calculations after, you know, extended minutes last week. Even if he gets, you know, 65, 70 minutes, he's still fantasy relevant, right?
Yeah, he's just very expensive. So you kind of want to make sure, like, his price isn't really going anywhere. If he's averages 60, he's going to get up, like, to 800K, which is only 50 more. But you can confirm his role another
time. He'll get close to 820, I think, for 60.
Yeah.
So, but it's really, it's whether you, I think if you get Tohu, it's really an early play at planting down a keeper this side of Origin.
If he's a keeper, if, big if there.
I reckon on absolute points, like overall points, I reckon he'll come in close just behind Yo and Haas through to the end of Origin.
Wow, that's a big...
Well, no, because he'll play the extra games.
Yeah, I know, but if he goes back to 60 minutes, he's a 40, 45-minute player.
Yeah, I gotcha, but I'm having a look at his outcomes over, last year. It was the first year with the new coach. He wasn't that sort of player. He was closer to... He wasn't a 60-minute player last year, apart from the injury effect where he was literally injured during the game type games. Well, they were managing coming back because they needed him that much.
Yeah, but they also have Kirk... Like, I know their edges are a bit more solid now. Like, I'd see them playing their edges for 80 if they're healthy this year more than they did last year.
That's true. They did have Kate Wall, who was out there a bit niggly last week, didn't they?
Yeah. And then they also lost Wade Egan. Like, there was a lot of things that happened.
Yeah. So, because he didn't come back on at all, did he?
No, he went off 37 minutes with an injury and didn't come back. So, and they didn't play Tom LA off the bench for 0 minutes. So I don't know. Like, there's a whole lot of moving.
It was a squeaker of a game, wasn't it?
Yeah, you could buy. Like, the problem is you could buy Tohu, and he could end up being 750 lemon priced at where he's not what you want right now. You want to make money.
It's that's it. And you can park him, but he's got to be one of the few guys that you can park, right? So
you want points and money this time of year.
Mm. Excellent. Apart from that, Nick, did you have anyone else you wanted to talk about?
No, that was it. I just thought someone would bring it up at some point, but yeah, no one. No.
Oh, don't worry. I'm wondering why no one's talked about Kalen Ponga, because I'm like, I'm just looking at my team going, why are you there? Why aren't you Tommy Trbojevic?
Your first tip-off was the blonde hair, mate.
It should have been. It was very Bulldogs-esque.
Yeah. No one's brought up Matt Burden, though, for good reason. So.
Oh, mate,
it wasn't a 16. It wasn't.
Look, he's getting worse and worse the more years he starts in the halves. He's going
to
be.
I don't think that's statistically true.
It doesn't have to be statistically true, but like factually, since he's gone to the Bulldogs, they've gotten worse a year.
Yeah, I don't know. I just have a feeling about the Bulldogs. I think they'll turn it. I think they'll go better this week.
This is the same feeling I've had as well for like 3 years, and then every year they just show you that they're the same.
All I can say, Nick, is turn your luck. You actually got the answer that you wanted instead of the Dogs, which was the Dragons are actually better this year. So there you go.
Yeah, but DeBellin stinks at fantasy, so hopefully he turns it around.
That's it.
He won't, sorry. I'll tell you that one right now. He won't.
Yeah, we'll find out. But yes, look, the pack is certainly looking up now that they've added Mariner and they've added, what's his name from North Queensland? Luciano Leilua. Yep. I think he'll definitely be better for that. Mm. Look, as far as their pack goes, I think they'll be better for Luciano. So with how much we like him as an 80-minute guy, but I think as far as even off the bench, he'll be better than some of the guys that were playing last year.
I guess. Well, also, just a quick note, I expect the Bulldogs to win on Friday because last year they had a stinker round one and they got a rocket and beat Melbourne. So I think they'll win this week.
Ah, okay. So you got
They're paying like $3, I think, from memory.
I think they're good odds, 1 to 12.
I might try and get to that game Friday, 6 p.m. Yeah,
I'll be gearing up for the Penrith game, mate.
I'll have to listen to them in the car ride home, but I'm just down this way. But that'll be a good game. I think the Sharks v Bulldogs, because they'll either get thrashed and the home crowd will be happy, right? Or it'll be a tight game and it'll be worth watching.
Yep.
All right, guys. Well, with that in mind, we'll wrap up the questions there. This is the Boom or Bust and NRL Fantasy Amateurs Questions Podcast collaboration for 2024. Signing out.
Thanks for listening today, and I hope you enjoyed our collaboration. Please make sure to subscribe to the podcast and check out Facebook pages for more info.